Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us now to get into our next conversation. And our next conversation is, we're picking up from where we left off yesterday. Remember, we did a brief intro yesterday on the idea of what nutrition actually is. And today, we're talking about the role of nutrition in preventing diseases. And to talk to us about it is Lila Brooke, who's talking to us, giving us some perspective. Remember, many chronic diseases, from diabetes to heart disease, are linked to diet mostly. Making smart food choices, therefore, today and tomorrow can help prevent health problems. At least that's what experts are saying. And that's why we have one joining us right now, Lila Brooke. Good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Lila Brooke, can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah,
yes,
now I can.
Hear you now.
Good afternoon to you, ma'am, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Lovely.
Thank you so much.
Let's get into it without further ado. Thank you very much, ma'am. How does poor nutrition contribute to chronic diseases, really?
So there's several ways and sort of means by which that happens. So certainly the first one is that if someone is overweight, it does put them at higher risk of, say, for example, diabetes or heart disease. So obviously then if their diet includes a lot of high calorie foods and they're not very active, leading to them becoming very overweight, then that would be a contributing factor to chronic disease. In addition to that, say, for example, if someone has a very high salt diet, that can also then increase the risk of hypertension or high blood pressure. Or if someone has a very sort of poor diet in respect to sort of sugar and carbohydrate intake, they may be more prone to diabetes and insulin resistance. So all of those sorts of factors do come into it. But at the same time, obviously, there's a hereditary component in many of these conditions that obviously plays a big role.
Okay. You used words that are generally used by people who are in the know. I'd like you to break them down into simple words. You said calories. What are calories? Because when you say high sugar, we all know sugar. High salt, we all know salt. But calories?
Yes.
Just break that down for us and make that simple for an eight-year-old.
So the joke that I've heard is that calories are little creatures that climb into your clothes at night and sew them tighter. But it's the official definition.
Right.
Calories are basically the unit by which we measure how much energy a food gives us.
Okay.
So the more calories, the higher the energy content.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean necessarily energy only in terms of having enough energy to get through your day,
right,
but also in terms of everything that your body needs to function. And obviously that's a good thing. But if we have an excess of energy in terms of more calories taken in than we expend through exercise, then that's when we have that excess that then would be stored as fat, hence becoming overweight.
Okay. And then what are carbohydrates?
So carbohydrates are, so that's starchy foods. So that's things like your bread, rice, pasta, cereals, potatoes, etc. And they are important because they do give your body energy, which is obviously important, and also fiber. So if you don't have enough carbohydrates in your diet, you won't get enough fiber, which in turn can make you more likely to get constipated. So carbohydrates are very important from that point of view.
I just got a text message from I'm gonna take this. So I know someone is shrinking my clothes. Okay. Yeah, blame it on someone else who's shrinking your clothes. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So, what are some of the best foods for health, and particular heart health and diseases that could help prevent all of those? What foods are those?
So that would be, so an important one is to make sure that one's having enough vegetables. So if you make sure that half your plate is vegetables at lunch and at dinner,
right,
that helps a lot in terms of disease prevention. So once again, that helps you to get more fiber, which is important because that helps to lower cholesterol levels and in turn help with heart health. But in addition to that, the vitamins and minerals in the vegetables also have an immune boosting function and help to prevent disease.
Right.
So certainly the vegetables are important. Then, I mean, I know that you're asking the best foods, but just in terms of foods you want to limit, which comes into that, you also want to watch your red meat intake, because an excess of red meat not only affects your cholesterol levels, but can also have an effect in terms of inflammation in the body. And if you have a lot of inflammation in the body, that also can play a role in causing disease more. So what you want to try to do is include more, say, chicken, especially chicken breasts. You want to include more fish, and you want to include more legumes. So all of that will be much better from a heart health point of view and will give you more of the correct nutrients you need for disease prevention. And you also want to make sure that you're including, so in terms of another thing that's good would be nuts. So nuts are great because they're high in heart healthy fats, as are avos, olive seeds, etc. And that's also a great one to include from a heart health point of view. Just to bear in mind, though, that nuts are very high in calories. So if someone is trying to lose weight, they just need to.
So, as you were speaking, I felt my South African-ness leaving me. This idea of staying away from red meat. I mean, we are a braai nation. We are a nation of braaiers. What? I feel like one of my colors in my flag just left me.
You
Okay.
can braai chicken and meat too. I mean,
Okay.
chicken and fish. I mean, chicken and fish.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Okay, and so let's talk about sugar. You also mentioned sugar, and I'm finding it a little difficult to consume that fact because we've got vegetables that have got sugar, we've got fruits have a lot of sugar. So when we're saying we must limit our sugar intake, what are we talking about? How does sugar consumption impact health, and what are healthy alternatives?
So usually when one talks about limiting sugar consumption, it's mainly taking into account like the sugar that's added to food. So say, for example, the sugar you add to your tea
Okay.
or a cake, which obviously has got
A
sugar in it,
lot,
as
yeah.
opposed to the naturally occurring sugar like in fruit. Having said that, so then, I mean, in terms of that added sugar, that very, very refined sugar that's more likely to have a negative effect on health in terms
Okay.
of diabetes risk, in terms of inflammation, etc.
Okay.
However, having said that, it doesn't mean that just because, say, the sugar in fruit is natural, that one should have unlimited amounts, basically, because that can still have a negative effect on blood sugar. It can still be not great for liver health. So it is very important to be aware of that in terms of overall sugar intake, but
Right.
specifically the sort of added sugar. I mean, I don't think anyone will be misguided enough to think that having a glass of Coke would be equivalent to having like an apple because it's
Right,
both of
right.
sugar. I'd like to think that,
I
you
hear
know, yeah, I
you. I
think
hear
it's
you.
always better to actually eat food.
So I once had a conversation with another doctor who said these 100% fruit juices are highly con high they have a high content of sugar,
That's correct.
and they're suggesting they too are not good. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I mean that's 100%, not the no sugar added there. Why would that not be a good thing? Just explain that for me, please.
So when one thinks about fruit sugar, so if you think about an apple or an orange, let's just
right
say,
right
so obviously it's got the fruit sugar in it, but it also has the fiber, and the fiber helps to lower the effect of that fruit sugar on your blood sugar. So it helps to slow down the speed at which the starch or the sugar in that food is digested, and then allows you then to have a slower effect or a smaller effect on your blood sugar. However, if you have the juice, you're taking out the fiber, so you don't have that positive effect that the
Okay.
fiber has. And then instead, what ends up happening is that you have this excess of sugar in the body because there's no fiber. In addition to that, if you had to make, say, orange juice, let's just say, if you've ever
Right,
made orange juice
right.
before, so maybe a normal size serving of oranges would be one orange. That would be
Right.
how much you would comfortably have. But if you go and you have a big glass of freshly squeezed orange juice, you
Right.
probably will be having a good like 500 mils.
Right.
Whereas to make 500 mils of orange juice, it'll take probably about three or four oranges that you then have in one go. So you're just getting the sugar part
Yeah.
without the fiber part that the rest of the
Right,
fruit
right.
provides. So it lands up being a very big sugar load.
Wow.
And it lands up actually having the same amount of sugar as Coke.
That makes so much sense. Okay. All right. That explains that. Okay. So, what role do antioxidants and superfoods play in strengthening the immune system? But first, explain what antioxidants are.
So antioxidants are chemicals that are found in foods. and they help to basically prevent damage to the cells in your body.
Okay.
So just the normal body processes that happen in the body, there's potential for cellular damage, and these chemicals come and they sort of neutralize the potentially damaging compounds, and they allow you then to be obviously better from a health point of view, but also to lower the risk of disease. So that's the function of the antioxidants, but for the most part, most people, if they're getting a balanced diet, should get enough. But for a lot of people, if they say, for example, don't have enough fruits and vegetables, that's when they're more likely to maybe not get enough of that.
Right. Okay. And then finally, how can communities promote healthier eating habits to reduce disease rates? And I say this because this idea of a community in the context of South Africa appears to be a false notion to me because we live with people who are in their own cocoons. If it's not suburbia with high walls, it's the city life, which people pass each other, and we don't have that sense of community like rural areas.
True.
So I'm not quite
True.
sure if there really is a true concept of community, but it's a legitimate question nonetheless because there are people who live as communities. So I'm going to ask it, how can communities promote healthier eating habits to reduce disease rates?
Yeah, I think there's many different definitions of what a community is.
Okay.
So it could be within someone's sort of church or within someone's
Fair point.
school, or you know, so there's many different in terms of what one defines as a community. But I
Right.
think it basically comes down to sort of at a government level, there needs
Right.
to be better public health messages. And in addition to that, in terms of on an individual basis, so let's just say if we're talking about a school, which is
Right.
one of the most kind of common communities, as it were, which many people will be part of if they have children.
Right.
Within that sort of context, there can be sort of a focus on healthier lunch boxes or healthier tuck shop options. You know, at sort of a public health level, I do think there needs to be more sort of nutrition intervention. And there are things that are being done, but I think there needs to be more education around it.
Right.
So, for example, over the last probably almost 10 years now, maybe not quite as much as that, maybe 8 years, there's been a gradual reduction in the salt content of chips,
Yeah.
crackers, those kinds of snack foods, which people haven't realized was being very, very slow and gradual. But
Okay.
the thing is that it has been there in smaller amounts.
Okay.
So your normal kind of chips or crisps that you'd be usually having have actually gradually gotten less salty, and you don't even notice the difference, which is a good thing
Yeah.
because people will end up having less salt, but
Right.
they don't necessarily know that they are. So, yeah,
Yeah, I
that makes
suppose
sense.
there are some takeaway meat, particular chicken franchises that have way too much salt in them. I will not name any names. This is not a name and shame program, but I can tell you
Most of
now
them
that you
do.
can go and realize, oh, this is how people get high blood pressure. Lila Brooke, thank you very much
Yeah.
for your time. I really
Thank you so
appreciate your
much.
insights and your explanations. You have
Thank
sorted me out with that fruit
you.
juice question. It was my
Good.
personal one. You helped me
Well,
with
I'm
that. It
glad.
makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much. It helps.
Thank you so much. It's been great speaking to you.
All
Thank you.
right. That's how we're going to end our conversation for today. I would love to have her come back tomorrow again when we talk more about this idea of nutrition, but she's here today. Thank you very much, Lila Brooks.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.